have the honor of speaking tonight, and I just want to thank our pastors. They're out of town, but it is a great honor. I don't use that lightly, to be able to share with you this evening. I'm not one that walks around, so I'm just probably going to park it here, but that doesn't mean it's not exciting. I'm going to start my stopwatch so that I don't go over. Praise God. Well, the message tonight I've titled, What Faith Does. What Faith Does. And one of my favorite scriptures since as long as I can remember, since somebody asked me what my favorite scripture was and I decided I needed to pick one, is Hebrews 11. It is the chapter of faith. And in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when you read that, you're like, wow, faith. Like, it's, what does that mean? What does that mean? Right? Substance. What does substance mean? We can kind of, like, we know what it means, but do we know what it means? Okay. Substance is the real physical matter of which a person or a thing consists and which has a tangible, solid presence. So faith is tangible. It has a presence. It's something that you can hold, even though you probably don't think you can. Amen. So I want you to, when I'm talking tonight, I want you to have this picture in your mind of a cup, whatever cup you choose, or a glass, and you're filling it up with water. And you're the cup, and the next five things I'm going to talk about is the water that can be added into that cup. And that water is what faith is and what faith does. And I want you to picture it that way because every point that I make, I want you to see yourself adding that into your life and taking an action and saying, okay, I can do this. I can add this into my cup. I can add this into what I'm doing because it will help you to understand that faith is tangible. Amen? When we think about thriving in 2024, that's our year, our word for the year. You guys know we have to have faith to thrive, right? Like, we can't just be like, we're thriving, and then nothing happens. We have to have a substance behind thriving. So, praise God. This all ties into our theme. So, faith. First thing that faith does is it hopes. And so often, hope is misunderstood. And my last name means hope. So, I don't misunderstand it. I know what it is. People look at hope and it's just like, I hope that happens. It would be nice if that happened. That's how they equate hope. But in reality, you can't have faith without hope. Because faith is the substance, that tangible thing of what we hope for. So if you don't have hope, you can't have faith. Amen? And I looked up what hope means, and it says a feeling of trust or a feeling of expectation and desire for certain things to happen. So that's what it is. Hope is actually not, well, I hope that happens. It's, man, I hope that happens. There's an expectation in my heart that what God said he could do for me is going to happen, and that's what I'm hoping for. So without hope, you can't have faith because faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith, hopes and dreams. That's really what hope is. It's dreaming about the things that God has for you. And Isaiah 40, verse 31 in the NIV version, it says that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So when you hope, that allows your faith to grow and it allows you to have this renewed strength in God. If you don't hope or dream, you have nothing to have faith for. Romans 5:5. I'm sorry, I'm going to flip around a lot and I didn't mark anything, so you're going to hear pages. Romans 5:5 says, Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Hope doesn't disappoint. Another version says it doesn't put us to shame. And it's because we have the love of God. So if God's told you to do something, don't ever, and you're hoping for it, don't ever feel ashamed of hoping for something amazing. Don't ever let anyone tell you like, oh, you can't be asking God for that. No, there's a hope that he put inside of you that you're dreaming for that. And it says hope does not disappoint. It does not put us to shame So faith is not something to be ashamed of. It's not an action that you take that you have to hide back and not tell anybody about it because, you know, what if they think this about me? No, hope is saying I have hope in Christ. He's my rock. He's my foundation. Ultimately, Jesus is our hope, meaning that everything he did for us on the cross, everything that he has planned for us, he has a plan for us to have a future, to prosper, to do. The word says that you'll be successful in everything that you put your hand to. Everything. That's the things that we can hope for. And we have to allow ourselves to have that faith, which is hope. That's what faith does. It hopes, and then it strengthens us, and we're renewed in the things. If you go out in the world, someone can knock you down in your hopes and dreams. That's not possible. I know where you grew up. I knew where you come from. Oh, someone like you could never do something like that. No, hope does not disappoint. If God's spoken to you to do something, don't be disappointed by the world. Don't let that invade your spirit. Hope in him and be renewed and given his strength. Don't let people put your dreams to shame. So that's one. Faith hopes. So that's one thing we're putting in our cup, right? One water. We're adding hope. Okay. One water. We have four more to go. Faith speaks. Faith needs to be in your mouth. I was listening to a sermon from Pastor Jessica Giswaldi, and I told her I was going to quote her tonight, and she said, you can just have that quote. You don't have to quote me. So from here on out, it will be my quote, but tonight I'm still going to quote her. Because it stuck with me. This was actually in 2017 when she said it. She said, if the faith in your heart doesn't make it out of your mouth, it won't accomplish what it was set out to accomplish. If the faith in your heart, Lord, I believe in you with all my heart, right? Like, I have faith that you'll do that right here. This is where my faith is. If the faith in your heart doesn't make it out of your mouth, it won't accomplish what it set out to accomplish. The Bible says that God put a measure of faith in you, but do you know it's your job to get it out of you? Like, God put it in you, and now you get it out. Get it out your mouth. Mark 11:23. Everybody probably has heard some variation of this scripture, and it says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt, which is another version of just saying has faith, it will in his heart, but believes that, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So in that verse, we're talking about there's faith in your heart because you're not doubting in your heart. But if that faith doesn't get out of your heart and out of your mouth, if the faith that I don't doubt in my heart that God can do that. Well, if you doubt speaking it out, that's proving that you have doubt in your heart because you're afraid to speak it out. Why? God says that you have to speak it out, that whatever you say, he says, whatever things he says will be done. That he is a little h, that means us. Whatever we say by faith, whatever the faith in our heart, whatever we've hoped for and we've attached our faith to, and now we're speaking it out of our mouths, we should have. Per Jesus. I said should because Jesus said we should have it. So we can have it. We do have it. Amen. And now if we flip back to Hebrews 11, verse 3. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, God spoke. I think so often we take that verse and we think, by faith, we believe in God. But it says, by faith, we understand that all the works were framed by the word of God. So God also had faith to speak out what he was hoping and dreaming for. And I know it's a little weird because you're just like, well, he's God. He could just make it. That is true. But he spoke it out. He didn't just earth. He didn't just think, oh, it would be awesome if there was an earth and there were people on it. No, he spoke out of his mouth. Why? Because we're called to imitate him. And so he set the example from Genesis 1. You create things with the faith that you have by the words that you speak out of your mouth. Faith speaks. And another version says that it's out of God's command, so that God commanded the world. So it's not like, I just thank you that this is going to happen in my life if you want it to happen, and I'm just asking really nicely for this to come to pass. No, God commanded things into action. So if we're imitating him, we can command. You speak out your faith with an authority, knowing that what you've hoped for comes out of your mouth by faith, and you speak it. Amen. I'm just going to amen myself. Okay, that was water number two. Faith speaks. Add that to your glass. The third point, faith moves. And I'm going to trip you up. I'm not going to use the scripture you think I'm going to use first. I'll use it later. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay us aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So running, that's the movement. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The race we're running is fueled by faith. We run that race with our eyes on Jesus, right? It says right there, looking, we the last part of that verse, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto that prize of Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So our race is fueled by faith, which means that faith moves. Has anyone ever been in a race? When I was a little kid, I used to race all the time, and I always won. Hard to believe, but it's true. And you don't just like, there's a race going on. You have to move your feet. You have to do something. You have to take some sort of action. It's not stagnant. Faith is not stagnant. It moves. It grows. It expands. It tells you to do something. Now we'll go to the verse you thought I was going to use, James 2, verse 14. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I want to read more, so just hang in there. It's good. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Faith moves. There's an action with faith because it's tangible. It could move by speaking. It's not always like running, right? It's not always going into a community and screaming at the top of your lungs something that God put on your heart. Okay, faith can be silent. It can move by responding. Faith can move by an altar call and you come forward. That's an action of faith. Faith can move silently, but it moves in the area that you're hoping for. For example, let's say you're believing for something in your finances and God tells you to give a gift. You're actually not supposed to go for, you know what? I'm giving $500 today. No, you do that silently, but by faith, you write that check. You give in that offering. That's an action behind faith. No one can tell you the movement that you have to make by faith. No one can say, well, if you have faith, you'll do this, because it's what you're hoping for. So, I mean, someone could, if they know what you're hoping for, they could give you some godly counsel. I'm not saying that, but there's no formula to, okay, if you want this, do this, this, and this. It's the faith that God put inside of you, and he'll speak to you on what that movement is. But if he doesn't, just figure it out, because you got to move. Like, don't use that as an excuse to be like, well, God hasn't told me yet, so I'm not going to do it. Like, listen to him, which kind of is rolling into my next point here. But faith works together with works, but moving is made perfect in that. It says faith is made perfect by works, which means that if you're not moving in your faith, if you're not allowing God to, okay, I can believe it in my heart, I can speak it out of my mouth, but then what, right? Like, Lord, I'm believing for a job. I get a new, like, or I'm believing to be able to give to you more. I'm going to get a new job so I can give to you more. Oh, I got a new job. I got my check, but God didn't tell me to give. No, God told you in his word to give to him. So you got to make that move. You can't, like, your faith already happened, but it needs to be perfected by the steps that you walk in so that you continue to grow in faith. Amen. Moving in faith shows a lack of doubt, and stagnant faith is really just not faith at all. Like I said, if you were to run a race and you just stood there, you're not running the race. And our race is fueled by faith. So faith moves. That was number three. Okay, what was number one? Faith hopes. Number two? Faith speaks. Number three? Faith moves. Okay. Faith, number four, faith listens. Paul was a man of faith, right? We don't actually see, like, God saying, okay, Paul, go here. Okay, Paul, go there. After the road to Damascus, we do. He, you know, go to this one place. But after that, he just started rocking and rolling. He was just on his journey. He knew what he was called in, and he just started moving in it. He didn't just, like, Lord, I left this house, and where would you like my feet to go next? No. His faith was moving and working. It says that churches where he was and where he was visiting were strengthened by faith. And I'm going to go over to Acts chapter 16. Verse 4. It says, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. So they were strengthened in faith. And it would have just been, verse 6 says, now when they had gone through this other region that I can't pronounce, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Okay, they were forbidden to go somewhere. And after that, they went somewhere else, and the Holy Spirit did not permit them to go there. And then passing by, they went to another place, and that night Paul had a vision. But for the first couple verses there, you know, it would have been really easy for him just to go in anyway. He was on a roll. He had been all these places. He's like, well, this is the next place I'm going, so I'm just going to go. And the Holy Spirit said no. He could have just gone. But he had faith to listen to the voice of God that was saying, whoa, hold on. Don't go in there. All the signs were pointing that they were doing the right thing, right? They were hoping for people to receive. They were speaking it out. They were moving around the whole known world at that time. They had great faith, but it's so important that faith listens. It's so important that they had to hear the word of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, and it takes faith to listen to that a lot of the times, every time. It's not just a lot, it's every time. Faith lets the Lord lead at every step. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We need to listen to the word of God to be able to run the race of faith, because he's the one that's directing it. He's the one that's fueling our whole race. So we have to listen to him, because a lot of the times what could have happened was he could have gone ahead of the Lord. Right? Like, God didn't want him in that spot at that time. That doesn't mean it's forever. It meant at that time, don't go there. And Paul could have gone anywhere, and then he would have been running the race without the Lord, because he would have left his faith to the side, because faith listens. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So as you listen to the word of God, as you read the word of God, maybe you're saying, well, the Holy Spirit didn't speak to me directly of where I should and shouldn't go. That's fine. this whole thing is the word of God. So we listen to this. So if you're like, I'm not hearing the word of God, just read it out loud. Thank you for laughing. I heard that joke so long ago. It's not funny, but you know, it's true. Faith listens. Okay, that was point number four. Number five, last one. Last, your cup's getting full. Okay, guys, your cup is getting full. This is the last one. Faith repositions. I'm going to continue in the story of Paul. In verse 7, he was not permitted to go there, so he passed by and came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen this vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. After being blocked in one spot, he went somewhere else. He was blocked there, he went somewhere else. He was blocked there. That could be discouraging, right? Faith doesn't, hope doesn't disappoint. But like, can you just picture Paul being like, Lord, what? Like, I've been doing all of this stuff, and now all of a sudden you just want me to stop? Like, what is going on? And he could have thrown a little temper tantrum and been like, I'm just going to sit here until you tell me what to do. Like, I'm not going to try anymore. No, he kept trying. He kept going to every single area. He let his faith continue to move, but he also made sure that he was listening at every single step. Don't let redirection discourage you in the things of God. Reposition and keep moving. Can't go here? Okay, let's keep moving. Can't go here? Okay, let's keep moving. Reposition if God's telling or redirecting you. As they moved, they got a vision, and then bam, you're on the next step over to Macedonia, and now I can preach the word clearly. So it took a few tries. Sometimes faith, you have to work out and you have to try things out and you have to listen to God and you have to be okay repositioning. You have to, okay, I tried this, it didn't work. Lord, what's next? I tried this, still not working. Got anything else for me, Lord? Listen to him, reposition. Don't lose your hope because our faith is in Christ. It's not in the works that we do. We do works by faith, but that's not where our hope lies. We're not doing it just to do it. Their faith wasn't stagnant. It was working, it was speaking, it was hoping, it was listening, and it was producing. Matthew 26. Anyone getting excited? Okay, praise God, because y'all are quiet. Matthew 26, verse 33 to 35. Just want to talk about Peter here for a bit. It says, Peter answered to him, Jesus, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. And then if we go down to verse, so Peter's faith didn't move. He was like, I'm not denying you. I have hope in you, Jesus. I know what you're doing. Like, I'm speaking this out. So he had hope. He spoke it. You know, he's like full of faith right now, right? Like, I'm never going to deny you. And Jesus is just like, assuredly. Same chapter, but go down to verse 69. It says, "Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I don't know what you're saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know that man.' A little later, those who stood came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear." He lost his faith real quick. He's backsliding now. He's cursing, he's swearing, saying, "I don't know that man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. Now you might be saying, like, how does this tie in? I'm getting there. Peter's faith didn't move. Seeing moving faith, he wouldn't have denied Jesus, right? Like his faith, he backtracked in that moment. When I said faith moves is not always a physical movement, that was his speech. The movement of his speech was doubt. I deny him. I don't know who you're talking about. Nope, that wasn't me. And he started cursing. That was not good. But what happened was he walked away from that moment and he actually repositioned himself. He walked away from that moment and he wept bitterly. He had a realization, oh no, what did I do? My faith wavered in that moment. And then we see in Acts, he really did reposition himself in faith. He took that moment as a learning experience. He was redirected. He listened to the words of God. Maybe when Jesus was saying it to the first time, he didn't listen, right? Assuredly, I say to you, you're going to die. No, I'll never deny you. His faith wasn't listening to Jesus in that moment. But when he heard that rooster crow, his faith started to listen to Jesus. His faith started to listen to the word of God. And then he repositioned himself. And in the book of Acts, we see that he was in the upper room. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He began to preach and do the things of God. And so don't let one little hiccup in your faith walk, I have to start all over. No, listen to God. Allow yourself to be directed by the Holy Spirit. And don't be afraid to walk in and speak out. And Peter got so much boldness in that moment. He preached all night, and it was amazing. So, I think someone fell out of a window. And then he just kept preaching. Can you imagine if someone falls out the window? I'm like, yeah, they're fine. I just keep going. That was Peter. But literally, like right before, he was just like, I don't know, Jesus. He repositioned after he listened. Could Minister or Cly come to the keyboard, please? I told you I was going to be quick tonight. I don't know if I said that or not. Usually if I say it, I jinx it, so maybe I didn't say it. But the last thing I want to end with is, why is it important to have faith? Faith does all of these things, but one of the most important things about faith is that it pleases God. And that's also found in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, which means that with faith, it's possible to please God. Faith is what connects us to the grace of God. The grace of God is a supernatural power of God to do what you can't do in yourself. And that was also from Pastor Jessica Giswaldi. So faith connects us to that grace of God. And then the grace of God is that power to accomplish that faith in us. It pleases God when you turn to him and acknowledge that you need his grace, that you need his power, that you need him to accomplish anything at all. When we're singing, come Holy Spirit, I need you, that pleases God because you're acknowledging your need for him. You're acknowledging that you can't do this in your own. You need his power. It pleases him when you rely on him, when you ask him for things, when you seek out his face and say, Lord, I can't do, I'm relying on you in this moment. I know you're gonna show up. It pleases God when you hope for the things that he set forth for you. I mean, can you imagine? Someone has all of these things for you and they're just waiting for you to come get it. And you just don't go get it because you think they don't want to give it to you. Like, can you imagine if a kid on Christmas has all of the presents under the tree with his name on it and the kid's like, I don't know if you really want to give those to me. You'd smack them. You might even take the gifts away. No, we're not going there. It pleases God when you let that faith that's in your heart come out of your mouth because you're showing that faith to him. You're speaking it, you're creating, you're imitating him. It pleases him when you imitate him. He told us to. He told us to imitate me. It pleases God when you move in faith because it shows trust. I might not be able to see how this is gonna work, but I'm just gonna take that first movement, that first step, and as I do that, God's going to have to figure it out for me because there's no other option. Those are some of the best faith moves there are. You know, when I moved to Hawaii, I prayed about it, and we determined, if anyone knows me, you'll understand, I'm not going to live on like a tent on the beach, so I needed an apartment. I needed somewhere to stay. I had considered the whole tent on the beach thing. It's Hawaii. Why not? And then I realized that like bugs and like lack of bathroom, and there's a lot of things that, and I was like, but it's faith. I could do that for a week and God's going to open up an apartment. And then I'm me. So I didn't. I didn't feel like that was the direction God was telling me. But I did move without anything else. I had an apartment. That was it. Packed up 4 suitcases, flew on over there, rented a car because I didn't have a car. Tried to figure out if there was any jobs there because I hadn't even really looked at the job market. Nothing. But sometimes that's what faith does. Lord, I'll move over there. You're going to give me a job. Okay. God gave me a job in town. Great job. Changed my whole career path, which allowed me to come down here. Like, the things that God did through that step of faith that set me up for the rest of my life is insane. It's insane. But when you take that first step, like I said, I needed the apartment. I needed something. Got a car, got a job, was helping with the ministry. And God set me up for success for the rest of my life through that one movement of faith. It pleases God when you listen to his word and his voice. And faith comes by hearing that word of God. So we know that that pleases him because we're growing in faith and growing our strength. It pleases God when you reposition after hearing and you increase your faith to continue to walk in the areas that he's calling you to do. Sometimes it's a lot easier to do the first move than to reposition. Because you just start to question everything. Well, did I even hear the voice of God the first time that I moved? Well, I thought that was what he told me to do, and now he didn't tell me what to do. So do I even know what he sounds like? Like, how do I even know that what I'm doing next is what? Don't let that come into your brain. Trust in the Lord and walk into what he's calling you to do. Faith is tangible. These things, hoping, speaking, moving, listening, repositioning, those are things that you can do. If you're going to thrive, I want you guys to think about the area that you're thriving in this year. What did God tell you to thrive in? Well, can you hope for that? Can you speak for it? Can you move in it? Can you listen? Can you be ready to reposition? Our faith is who we are, and it directs what we do. Now, I'd be remiss to not talk about salvation in this moment, because such an example of faith is salvation. In Romans, it talks about having to believe in your heart. So that's the first thing, because faith hopes. So you believe in your heart, but then you have to take it a step further. It says you have to speak with your mouth. You have to confess it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Then it says you can't deny God in front of a crowd. So what could that faith movement be? It could be coming forward to accept Christ, to say, I'm going to take this step of faith, and I'm going to enter into the kingdom of God. So if everyone can just stand at this moment. And I just want you to close your eyes, and I want you to